agenda is LU 17-171655 HR. It's alterations to the historic Meyer and Frank building. Before we get to that, I need to review or read the type 3 review requirements. Number one, public testimony is welcome and encouraged, but can only address the applicable approval criteria or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or land use regulations, which the person believes apply to the decision. The applicable approval criteria set forth in Portland Zoning Code, no more specifically identified in the staff report. Staff will identify the applicable criteria as part of the staff report. Repetition of points made by other citizens in previous public testimony is strongly discouraged. Number two, prior to the close of the hearing, a participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence or testimony. Such a request is made, the commission will either grant a continuance or hold the record open to provide an opportunity to submit additional evidence and an opportunity to respond to that new evidence. Number three, failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficiently specific to afford the commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals or LUBA based on that issue. Number four, failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to give the commission an opportunity to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court under ORS 197.796. The commission's decision on the case is final unless appealed to City Council within 14 days of the decision. If the decision is not appealed, it must be recorded with the Multnomah County Recorder. Specific instructions will be provided with the notice of the commission's action. This hearing is recorded, and all speakers need to sit at the front table and give their name and mailing address for the record before speaking. Following procedures must be used for the hearing of each Type 3 review. Number one, staff will show photos and plans for the site and surrounding areas. Number two, staff will present a report. Staff report will include the applicant's proposal, identify the applicable approval criteria, and include information on letters received on the request, findings, and a recommendation on the request. Number three, the applicant will be given an opportunity to present to the commission. Number four, public testimony will be received first in support of the proposal and then in opposition to the proposal. Chair has the option of imposing a 2 to 5 minute time limit for each member of the public to speak. We ask that only one representative of an organization speak on its behalf. Number five, public testimony will be closed. Number six, applicant may request additional time for rebuttal of public testimony. The chair may impose a time limit for such rebuttal in its discretion. Number seven, if any party requests an opportunity to submit additional evidence, the record will be held open 7 days to allow time to submit additional evidence and 7 days to allow parties to submit evidence responding to the new evidence. Number eight, if the record is closed to all other parties, the applicant will have an additional 7 days to submit final written arguments without additional evidence. Number nine, after the record is closed to all parties, commission members will discuss and vote on the request. In the case of a tie vote on any motion, that motion will fail. Number 10, if the commission's decision amends or returns the Bureau of Development Services staff report, the adoption of new or revised findings will be required. At the time of its decision, the commission will announce when the revised findings will be considered. No additional testimony will be taken, but interested parties may attend. The first case today is again LU 17-171655 HR. It's alterations to the historic Meyer and Frank building. Do any commission members have ex parte contacts to disclose? No. Do any commission members have a conflict of interest to declare? No. All right. So we have Mike Gushert from BDS here to do the staff presentation. Mike, welcome.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. So the project, the building should be very familiar. It's the Meyer and Frank building downtown, listed on the National Register of Historic Places. The project should be somewhat familiar. We did a design advice request hearing, I believe, in late April about it. Many of the features of the project are still there. Just because I'm required to, here's the code context for the project. It's in the central commercial zone. There's a height limit of 460. No changes in height or anything are proposed for this. It's mostly on the lower floors of the building, since that is where Macy's used to be. Plan district, Central City Plan District, and your approval criteria for this project are the Historic Resource Review Criteria, 846060G, and the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines. If you remember, the site is bounded by 5th and 6th Avenue, Morrison, and Alder Street. With the exception of Alder Street, those are all bus mall streets and major transit ways. Existing condition is historic Meyer and Frank building. The site disposition sloping north to south gently, and the lot area 40,000 square feet. And this was from the DAR, just to give you an idea. We're in the middle of it all, close to Pioneer Courthouse and Pioneer Courthouse Square. This is buildings that are in the area. There's a number of these commercial style buildings that are listed in the National Register of the Historic Places that are around, including the Northwestern National Bank building and the Yon building and the Selling building. There's just a ton. This is sort of the crown jewel of those buildings. That's why it was listed. So the proposal, this is the list from the DAR with some alterations for the alterations of the project. Renovating the historic Meyer and Frank building generally is what we're doing. Rearranging some louvers. In an old renovation, there were louvers that were designed to fit perfectly within window bays. This project, if approved, would rearrange some of those and replace some of those, some of what is now louver with windows that are wood windows that replicate what is in there. Creation of a new storefront entry in the southwest. That would be within the character-defining display windows of the historic building. Replacement of garage doors, should put garage in quotes. Entries with person entries on 5th and 6th Avenue. There are some what were entries that have been filled with sort of overhanging doors, and this project would put in person doors and entries into office space. In the DAR, there was a proposal for an upper floor loggia. That is not part of this project, so that's part of the response to the DAR the applicant has shown. Removal of the cloth awnings that are currently all the way around the building that say Macy's. Creation of new entry awnings at each of the new entries, so that would be the 5th and 6th entries, those garage door ones that were mentioned earlier, and the new entry that's going into the display window. Alterations to the Alder Street awning. Alder Street has sort of functioned as the back of the building, for lack of a better way of putting it. It has a kind of hefty awning that goes all the way out over the sidewalk. And to create a little more light, the applicant has reduced that also at the request or requirement, actually, of PBOT. New signage was proposed in the DAR. That's not part of this. We will sort of go over potential signage options. I thought I'd let the applicant have the chance to talk with you about a direction on signage for a future type 2 review. And finally, new fascia plates at each of the bays. So my staff report is recommending approval. The outstanding issues that were in the staff report was, you know, it was pending threshold detail at the two new entries at 5th and 6th Avenue. That was received. I passed that out to you last week. Signage, again, not part of this application, but sort of outstanding issue with the treatment of the building as opposed to specifically this project. So getting into what's going on, this is a photo of one of the louvers, so you have an idea of what those look like. And this gives you an idea of, to jog your memory of kind of the way the rearrangement goes, the west entry or elevation there. Those W's are on the top, what used to be louvers and would now be windows. On the bottom, the L's are what were windows and would now be louvers. The application sort of coalesces them into a more organized fashion. And then we have the details for both the louvers and the windows in case those are necessary for discussion. And the window. The new storefront entry. This is, to jog your memory again, a new entry in the display window. I have a photo down at the bottom, which is carried over from the DAR hearing. That is not in Portland. That's Washington, D.C. That's a National Register listed commercial building of similar type and style that went through a historic tax credit review and was reviewed given using similar criteria to your approval criteria, not the exact same, the Secretary of the Interior standards for the treatment and rehabilitation of historic buildings. But that Zara sign that you see there is a new entry that was put into a display entry. Everything else you see is the page from the application. It shows the new entry with steel canopy with glass infill. in where the display window used to be. And the detail on that, again, in case we need it for your discussion. New entries on 5th and 6th Avenue. This is the sheet for the 6th Avenue entry. And this shows the information that we got about the thresholds as that it was pending the approval. That sill of granite there, the applicant's proposing to grind that down, but leave some of the material there in an effort to allow this entry to have barrier-free access for people with mobility devices. Just as with the new entry in the display window, there is a proposed steel canopy with glass infill, of course, in this case larger because it is a larger entry, new transom glazing, but the transom staying in its organization. And the same with the Fifth Avenue entrance. It's a photo of it down there. New steel and glass awning built to the size of this entrance. So since new awnings were being introduced, I thought it might be useful to go out and take some photos of the awnings that exist on the buildings now. These might be familiar to you. These are the historic awnings that are not being altered by this project that were for Meyer and Frank and then for Macy's and would be utilized by the new tenants in this building. It's a photo of it without the pretty lights. And these awnings are also on the building. They don't belong to the applicant. The building is condoized. These are both belong to the hotel tenant that has the above floor. So departure with their awningless entry, and then the nines with their metal and glass entry. Just to give you an idea of the vocabulary of all the awnings that exist on the building now. And the biggest of the awnings is this one on Alder Street. Like I said, the applicant is proposing reducing its length. We have the details there. It's been run into by cars quite a bit in its lifetime. So I think the shortening of the awning may help with that, the new flashing detail to match what is there. And it'll be the hanger, the wire will be at a slightly different angle for the reduced length of the awning. So now bonus round. Signage, again, not part of the application. Just giving you an opportunity to look at, initially came in with the application, and provide an outlet for you to have a conversation to guide a future type 2. Some signs that I would draw your attention to that were part of this, the D that is in the middle of the building there, there's a little seam where the two parts of the building as it expanded came together. And this has a proposal for a blade sign there at an elevated height above where other blade signs exist. You can see the two H's. Those are existing blade signs. Also, the C's on either side, those are extra blade signs that would be within the transom bar or transom line of the window. And then the A's are awning signs above the historic awnings. Currently, above those historic awnings, there are already signs. And each of those Bs would be a potential fascia sign of pin-mounted metal. And this is the east, the Cs and the Bs and the As. The A there is an awning sign over the new entry with a blade sign underneath the awning. And the north and west. So. Your three options, almost, accept the staff report and approve the application, request the applicant return with revisions or reject the staff report and ask that we come back with a staff report of denial. And if you have any questions for staff, I'm happy to answer.
Any questions for staff? I had one question in terms of the windows that would be either taken out or removed. Or removed or put back in. Are they anticipating reusing some of the old sash potentially?
Or? I think so. I'll let them answer that though. Okay. I looked at the proposed replacement and saw that it was a match and thought that that was enough to move forward with.
Okay.
Can you refresh my memory on the awning issue and minimums required or how the code applies to if this wasn't a historic building? What would be the requirements for awnings or pedestrian coverage, basically?
Well, if it, it would be in design review, and there are design guidelines that speak to protect the pedestrian. There are also guidelines that speak to creating a hierarchy of entry, and they sort of explicitly talk about having a larger or more pronounced awning or something else signaling an entry. So in the case, in this case, if this weren't a historic building, you'd sort of have those two guidelines.
It's not like the window requirements where it's a, okay.
No. And, you know, I just realized I forgot to mention, I supply you with two pieces of testimony. Sorry about this. One is from the Portland Business Alliance in support of the project, specifically talking about the awnings. Thank you, Commissioner Roman, for asking that question and jogging my memory. And then another that came in between the application and the DAR, submitted as a courtesy to the community member that submitted it in opposition to removing the awnings and making alterations to some of the doors, and sort of in support of preservation of landmarks in general, and in opposition to the loggia, but that's no longer a part of the project. Let me go back to questions. Sorry about that.
Appreciate it.
Any other questions for staff? No?
You, since this is a very long letter, is it mostly regarding the awnings, the concern of the?
It generally starts out talking just about the importance of the building, both to the testifier and to, you know, the city. And then each of the underlined sections after that, the initial preamble, talks about the awnings, the window loggia, the new entry, in opposition to the new entry, but also support of using the fifth and sixth entries. The tail end of it is about the interior of the building, which we don't have jurisdiction over.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Mike, you said that the I thought I read in that letter that there was opposition to the new entry. Is that right?
In the testimony. Piece of testimony that came in between the
right.
two. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I guess we can hear from the applicant.
It's nice to see all of you again. We are excited to be here to talk about the design review of for the Nine Frank project. My name is Amy Donahue. I'm a principal with Bohr Architects, and with me is Leslie Cliff. My address is 720 Southwest Washington, Portland, Oregon, 97205.
Yes, so Leslie Cliff, Bohr Architects, 720 Southwest Washington, Portland, 97205.
So Mike always does such a good job that we really don't have much left to say by the time we get up here. So we do want to walk you today through some of the details and the logic behind some of the design decisions. KBS and Sterling Bay, the two owners for the building, have made a special trip here to be in the audience. So certainly if you have any questions for them, they can also approach. But, you know, we are all here today, I think, because this is an important project, obviously, to us as a team, as a project, but also I think a really important project to all of Portland. And we are, I think, through the design, really trying to acknowledge and honor this important piece of our historical architectural fabric in the city. So just to refresh your memory a little bit from the design advice discussion that we had, you know, this site has really, since 1898, been under continual redevelopment and reimagination. Myron Frank first appeared on the site in 1898 and then continued to spin around the block and create a number of different additions onto the building. And then, of course, we had the hotel come in I think, 2006. And now we have Macy's exiting and Sterling Bay and KBS are coming in to turn this into creative office. So it's been a pretty amazing block in our city in terms of what it's hosted, and we're excited to kind of give it another 100 years or so in Portland in terms of what it can do. So again, a huge part of our historic kind of cultural context, also a very big part of our kind of civic context, you know, its location here, certainly on the transit, which is something critical to Portland, but also on Pioneer Place, kitty corner from that location, and across from another historic gem, the Pioneer Courthouse Square. So lots of opportunities in the building to preserve and I think make visible elements that maybe have not been when Macy's was occupying the space, and making the pedestrian experience around it also much more favorable is something that we're looking to do as part of the project. We had a great design advice discussion. Just to underscore, we are not asking for a larger. We would have loved to have had this, but I think we heard very, you know, loud and clear from you. It's not something that would have been part of the original building and not something that we should push forward. So we have stepped back, certainly from that. But we do have a number of other details that we'd like to share with you today. I think the plan has not changed remarkably since you last saw it. The location you can see here in gray, the hotel lobby, everything in gray sort of stays as is. I've got a very active mouse here. Okay, let's see if I can do this. So the hotel lobby is here. Everything in gray belongs to the hotel, which is the other part of the condo. And we're using this southwest entrance right across from Pioneer Place or Pioneer Square to come into a large lobby that connects with the existing historic elevators. And then we are reopening these former entrances at the mid-block on both of those transit malls into the building as kind of retail entrances, which I think will help those streets greatly in terms of activity and people coming and going. We also, because you know, we're using this historic entrance really as the address for the building, and so using that as the way for the upper floor office tenants to come into the building, we have added a new entrance here, much smaller in size than this one, but had a new entrance and a new canopy so that that tenant can still have the presence on that corner. It can be meaningful to them, and they can have access as close to the corner as possible. We do have all of the loading will remain on this side, as well as the freight elevators and things of that nature. And then we're adding canopies east and west, as well as here at the new entrance. Going one level down, we have a bike ramp that is incorporated into the existing stairs, which brings people down to park. Right now we have 200 bike parking spots in the building. I think we're required to have 14 by code. Sterling Bay was maybe most shocked when we told them that number when they first came to town from Chicago. But, you know, really making sure that both in the bike storage, but also in the locker facilities and changing and shower facilities, that people can get to this building and be supported in their kind of alternative transit methods of getting to work. Gym, there also is some multi-use spaces, some building storage. The gray, again, is the hotel. You'll notice that the red line is the building envelope above, so we're under the sidewalk for a portion of this. And then the upper level, which, you know, as a department store, this was one big giant open floor, and now we get to take advantage of that from an office standpoint. So a great and I think a relatively unique office floor plate in the building. And we're really trying to make sure that the east, west, south are as transparent and as open as possible. And we'll talk about that a little bit later as we get into the elevations. So you can see just some context in terms of what is hotel. So we're looking at the bottom five floors, kind of the ground plus four. So all the way around, you can see what the hotel has sort of done and the existing sort of building elevations, what we're planning to do. And then to zoom in a little bit more closely, we are looking to, as Mike sort of stated, really highlight the primary entrances into the building and those original historic canopies by removing the Macy's fabric awnings that existed there and replacing that with a metal sort of fascia, so it would sort of clean clean up and I think greatly simplify that elevation. On the east elevation, sort of doing the same here, sort of removing those awnings, there's our new entrance that's been inserted into that existing historic location. We also then, the W here are windows that will be added where we have louvers. So much more glass appearing at that lower level, looking out onto the street. And those, I have some details, those will be replicating exactly sort of the historic element that is there. And as much as we can save what we see in terms of the overall frame, we will. That is our plan. So these are some details and images kind of the existing, some of those existing, but we'll most definitely be sort of replicating these details that you see moving around. And we have just, you know, we're in demolition right now, so we're starting to uncover what is in the building. On the north elevation, we've really gained a lot of the services and therefore the louvers on that north elevation facing Alder. So we are where we've removed louvers on other elevations. We're now sort of placing them and organizing them together here. We are making those, this is what is there sort of right now. And for the new louvers, we're trying to make them in keeping all that we have, how the windows would have been framed. So we have an intermediate mullion and then a very sort of fine louver that appears there. So I think finer lines certainly than what you would see in some of those existing conditions today. All right. Sticking here a little bit. And then the west elevation, some additional windows, removing the canopies on this level. I think both on the east and the west, the idea of removing the canopies is all about making sure that we see first the building itself and that incredible terracotta work that is at the lower levels of the building in great detail, and also the canopies themselves. I mean, I think the adage that they don't make them like they used to certainly applies to every part of this building. So we're trying to make sure that we really celebrate the architecture at the street level and expose this gem to people who walk by, knowing that we will be providing coverage, especially on the south side, at the three main canopies, that includes the nines, and almost continuously on the north side. And on the east and west side, we would provide that rain canopy to pedestrians at those major entrances, in addition to the bus shelters that are on 5th and 6th. So you can see here, this is a view with awnings removed on the southwest corner, so that's facing the main entrance to the building. And again, I think in the northwest corner, an interesting, we all right now, when we walk past this area, it's very dark. You know, I think we don't ever think about this building on this side being very transparent and open. But once we cut back the canopy and take the awnings away, I think this side also, this corner has a real opportunity to be quite active and open. In terms of the design of the canopies themselves, again, we heard from you pretty clearly during design advice that make something that doesn't necessarily replicate what is there in terms of the canopy, but honors it, and I think is also really complementary to it. So we're looking at some kind of very light sort of steel base metal top, we heard from you, and it was interesting, the image that Mike showed where the base of the canopy is pushed back slightly, and then there's a higher profile at the top is really the inspiration for what we've done here. So you can see we now kind of fold over in the sort of section detail right there, and it just becomes a little bit lighter. We're trying to make sure that this isn't overly heavy in this location, but you can sort of see what we're replacing here and how the canopy really emerges from that opening with the new doors and the new windows, while still retaining the existing panels on the side, sort of those bronze panels that were there to begin with. And then this is our new entrance that is not at the mid block. It's sort of in this location, basically a couple of bays away from Pioneer Courthouse Square. And again, trying to make this as light and minimal as possible, so there is the continuity of the storefront line there, but still offering access to that space. And on the east side, again, another slightly different rendition given the existing condition of the bronze panel, but similar details in terms of the way that it hovers there. The doors, I think it was Commissioner Roman last time suggested, you know, don't copy an existing condition that had been added in 2006 that wasn't a good condition. So we actually, in terms of the new storefront that we would add, we're looking back to the historical precedent in terms of color. So we're suggesting that it's a little bit darker and just greatly simplified. So, you know, if this is the existing condition here, we're looking at doing something much sort of thinner, more refined and simplified where we add to it on the new. And this is the door. And I'm happy to go through any of these details as well, but in the interest of time, just to sort of go through these. These are some canopy details that we can also sort of review, but, you know, again, light sort of angles at the edges, glass, a lot of light and transparency sort of come through, and then the fascia detail where we cap, where the awning, the fabric awning today exists, we would cap that in the metal. And then, as Mike noted, these are the details, just ensuring that the base condition, that threshold condition of granite that we grind down, we are planning on taking that all the way across, so we're not just going to cut where we need to circulate, but make sure that it retains what I think was its original intention, was that it was a robust threshold that was meant to really move you into the entire kind of width of that opening. And the details, looking at the so the red line shows you, we'll cut that back, which I think will greatly improve the pedestrian experience on that side. And then finally, lighting. Again, a very simple approach, I think consistent approach, looking at kind of washing that entrance with a very little light that is recessed, so not something that really comes into your visual view other than the light, and some very simple round fixtures that will be recessed into the canopy itself, so providing more light on that side of the building. So our schedule, we are hoping to have our permit by end of September, so here we are in Landmark Commission, so we would love to leave today with approval of this design, and definitely look forward to your questions and comments. Mike suggested that before we close, we go over the signage, and I think he did a great job of sort of looking at some of the locations, you know, whether it be at the fascia or the snow signage using existing locations and a couple of new locations. We also wanted to talk about kind of what the signage is. What we're looking to do is, you can see here, we have the ability to use that leading edge of the canopy, the new canopy, to place signage for that particular tenant. We also have the opportunity, what we're trying to find is an opportunity for a pedestrian who's walking parallel to the building to sign the building by hanging a very light sign from the canopy. So you can see that in both of those. And as well, sort of out, so really sort of three primary, the fascia, the leading edge of the canopy, and the dropped piece underneath the canopy as well. So at the head, on that leading edge of the canopy, we'd be looking at doing something internally illuminated, as well as we do it also for the sign that hangs down below the canopy. So both of those are illuminated to draw attention as the pedestrian is walking along the building. And then we do pin-mounted metal letters up against the fascia, which I think is a very, you know, as we look around to many of the other signage strategies in the city, especially on historic buildings, I think something that is used quite consistently. We have a modern building, and that's definitely the way that that is done as well. And then using the existing corner bronze signs for the building name, those happen at mid-block as well as on the corners, and taking advantage of the signs that that Macy's has now is no longer using, and using those for the tenants that will be in the building. So that is the signage, and really, I think we wanted to frame all of this today and open up the floor to questions and any kind of discussion that you would like to have. But we're excited about what can happen in the next phase of this building, and would love to entertain your questions.
Great. Thank you very much. Any questions for the applicant?
Yeah, I have a few. Sorry. So with the new entry, well, the east and the west entries that you're lowering the threshold on, from what I can tell, there's going to be a gap of material that you're going to have to infill underneath the bronze panels. Is that right? And I guess what will that material be? Because when you lower the granite, there's going to be a little bit of wall exposed there.
Underneath this.
Yeah, there's already a band there that you can see that's black. And so that's the part that will just get extended down.
With the same material?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
Yes, and the storefront would be set at that lower level.
Right, okay. I am excited to see what happens on the north elevation when the awning gets pulled back, and it desperately needs more transparency on that elevation. So a couple of questions related to that. I'm wondering if there's any opportunity to look at glazed or translucent loading dock doors that might be more conducive to the pedestrian experience there, if that's an opportunity.
So those, the overhead doors that exist go directly into the elevators.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
You'd just be looking into an elevator shaft, and there are overhead doors, so it, unfortunately, it's not looking into, a space that would have illumination. Or
it wouldn't need to be vision glass necessarily, but maybe something even more decorative than just, a utilitarian door. That's just one question. I don't know if you guys have looked at, sounds like you haven't looked at that. Another question of clarification is the rendering you showed of the northwest corner with the cafe, and it looks like in plan you have electrical room, an existing electrical room there. So is that indeed how you're hoping to program that northwest corner?
I think we are taking, let me get to the plan. There is some small space that we can occupy around that. So I think we're sort of looking to try and maximize that as much as possible. It also could be display windows for a retailer that goes in there. But the idea is that the windows are clear glass looking into that space.
That will add a lot to the pedestrian experience, of course, if there's something active.
Right.
There. And then I was confused about, I recall Commissioner Roman's comments about the storefront, but I'm a little uncertain what you're proposing. I think you're proposing a dark bronze color to match existing, or will you? Yeah.
Yes. So we have some samples. So right now, the existing new that was replaced when Macy's sort of did the renovation is kind of a dull bronze. It's in between these two. And based on what we can find in the historic records, it was always something much darker. So we're proposing going with something, and I can pass these around, that we would go with something much darker just to, go as we would intend for it, hopefully, ultimately to be, but not to necessarily sort of replicate what is there.
All right, that helps. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had.
Can you talk a little bit about the canopies? And they're cantilevered, so just a little narrative about how they're attached to the building and if any historic terracotta or anything is affected and how those are connected.
Let me get to that. So they are cantilevered from the structure. Okay, going the wrong way. So we are sort of threading. I'm still going the wrong way.
It didn't look like you were getting into any of the terracotta.
No, that was the point, actually, is because we're trying to use that existing frame and leaving the terracotta as is and really having the canopy emanate from what is already an opening in that terracotta.
And you've had your engineers already looked at all that to determine the feasibility?
Yes, exactly.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the applicant? Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Oh, hold on. Wait, let me ask one more. Right in the canopy. So it looks like the water drains out to an outer edge that just sort of leaks out. Is that a fairly typical, I mean, they're not often connected to downspouts or anything.
Right, that's correct. So you would walk, sort of toward the not out at the leading edge, but back up against the building. And that.
Is that a maintenance issue in terms of just cleaning the glass? And
well, the thought is that it's probably easier to clean. We didn't want something consistently running over the metal, which we felt like this, you know, the point that it drops off, it's actually concealed, so you don't see it visibly. Mm-hmm. So we actually feel like this, given the slope and the location and the buffer by the metal, that it should be a pretty easily maintainable canopy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next part of our hearing, we will hear public testimony. First, in support of the proposal, we have Michael Rubinson.
So I'm the applicant, no testimony.
Oh, great. Okay. So then we move to the opposition. I haven't had anyone sign in to oppose the project. Is that still the case? Would anyone like to testify? All right, then public testimony is then closed. We don't need a rebuttal because no public testimony was offered. And nobody is going to request submit additional evidence. So I guess we'll just close the record to all other parties right now and discuss the merits of the proposal. Who'd like to go first?
Well, I'll weigh in to say I support the proposal and the staff's report. I know the awnings was the one contentious issue, but I think the building is a really handsome building and a really prominent location. And despite the arguments in the letter we received today, I think it's a better look. I don't think the awnings that are on the building now are particularly compatible with the building, so leaving them up there for me is a non-starter. And I think we've seen in Portland other examples of historic buildings with these contemporary sort of glass and steel awnings, and I think they're done fairly sensitively in that they don't sort of impose themselves on the architecture. They're kind of fit within the bay system. I appreciate that the applicant reconsidered the loggia. I think that was something I would have had an issue with. I think the renderings tell us a lot, just the glorious nature of the building and this effect sun has on the building facade. And anyway, I would, with respect to my fellow commissioner's opinion, I would like to weigh in with my support. So.
I can go. I would agree with everything that Commissioner Roman just said. And then to just jump on something that Commissioner Ranzetta said earlier, I would urge the applicant to, since we're doing a lot of louver window swapping, to not only salvage frames, but sashes, hung sashes, and relocate them and truly swap as much as possible. I'm in support of the rest of the project as it is. And then we can talk about signage separately.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say overall I'm supportive. I am okay with the removal of the awnings as long as there's as much vision glass as possible provided and active uses behind it. But overall, I really appreciate this project.
I agree with my fellow commissioners. I think the project looks great. I'm happy and grateful that the applicant removed the loggia concept, and I'm in support of removal of the awnings. I agree, of course, with Commissioner Carlson and Chair Renzetta about the materials for the windows, retaining those. And I'm excited about it too.
I guess I can make it unanimous in that respect. The one thing I would really love to urge the applicant is to, if you know, again, if you do swap out the louvers, try to install the windows that you take out to put them in somewhere else in the building, and if not, try to store them somewhere. Because this is the second time, I guess, we've gone through these kind of swap out exercises, and I think you never know when you're going to do it again for a different use of the building. And so I think I would strongly encourage you to try and keep those sashes around in particular if they're, you know, open to reuse. So I guess in terms of the proposal, staff, do we talk about signage now, or should we try to make a motion on the proposal?
I heard you.
That's all right.
It sounds like you're going to make a motion to support, but I think we should discuss the signs before you do that.
Okay. Signage.
You guys want to go first?
I guess the one that stands out is the one that's in the center of the building that's really high. Yeah. I'm not totally sure agree. If I'm on board with that one above that, the lower area of the base of the building. And then the other one that I think I mentioned this last time is that the pin-mounted letters are fine on the fascias. Just I would like to not see them in every bay. So, you know, centered on the bay of a tenant, maybe, or, you know, in one location. So
I'm, with the permission of my fellow commissioners, open it back up to public testimony and invite the applicant back up. It sounds like they may have some additional things to share about the signage. But before we get to them, I'd like to go around the room and certainly talk it through a little bit about some of the things we're happy about or not happy about on the signage.
I mean, I don't have an issue with any of the other types that are proposed. I mean, the stuff on the awning is pretty typical. The type of signage on the fascia is pretty typical. And then they're reusing other Macy's signs and locations and plaques. So,
right.
I would agree with Commissioner Carlson, particularly in regard to the upper sign. I think it will detract from the building's architecture. I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but if it wasn't like every business has had their own font and their own. My concern is that it not look like everybody's logo wrapped around the building, that you come up with a sort of a theme, a font, an overall cohesive motif that everyone kind of has to fit into, so that it's their names are there, but it's still about the building and being respectful. And I don't know if that's appropriate or not, but I would worry that some business moves in and has a really sort of, I don't know, crazy font or something, that it starts to detract from the architecture, where what you're showing has, you know, not that that's your final proposal, but it's consistent around the building in sort of a theme. And then I guess my only other comment would be to try to avoid drilling holes in the terracotta. So if there's a system that you can come up with that allows the sign to be changed, or, you know, something, so that we don't end up with a million drill holes, which I think you see a lot around town on the corners of older buildings. So generally, I don't have an issue with the fascia signs. And then on the new marquees, obviously it has to meet the code, but I agree on the upper one. So,
and I'll jump in and just say I agree with everything that's been said by my fellow commissioners.
I agree as well, and especially with Commissioner Roman's comment about the holes. I don't know how you regulate that in terms of requiring a sign, and what happens if, I'm not sure, what if it's vacant? I'm not sure how that works. The only other thing I wanted to ask about, could somebody go back to the slide where they have the sign when you walk under the awning, and it's sort of like perpendicular to the entrance. Yeah, that. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I don't know, but maybe that's typical. But if that's the only entrance where that's going to be the case, I think it might look a little odd if it's nowhere else on the building.
I think that's proposed at any canopy.
At any canopy?
At any of the canopies.
That would be okay then, I guess. Then with respect to the tall sign, the one above the first floor, I agree. I would not be in favor of a sign along the seam there. D on this picture.
I just think it's too high. I think the signage should stay below in the base.
To clarify, would commissioners like to talk about, so if that were in line with the other blade signs, would that be something that was acceptable, or any sign there on the seam is not?
For me, it wasn't about the seam, it was about the height. It's like it's just this one sign out of line.
I agree.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. There's a catenary cable that attaches to the building there that supports the light rail line, so we couldn't lower it because that was our first choice, was to lower it to be in line with the rest of them. But unfortunately, there's a cable that can't be moved or adjusted. So we're trying to deal with the request by putting it in our second choice.
Just nix that sign then. I also thought it was a little confusing because the nines signs are lower, but it's higher, and then the office sign would be above that. But
yeah, I think I'd concur. Okay.
Regarding holes in buildings, we have in the past, we typically require signs to be mounted through mortar joints. When that's not possible on terracotta buildings, we've actually required that those pieces of terracotta be removed and then the building be attached to the structure underneath, and then a new faux terracotta piece be installed over that, and the original stored on site. That may have happened on this building. I think it happened on the Galleria. Just an FYI.
As I look at this, too, I'd be very careful on the historic marquee entrance awnings about how you approach the A's there, because there's a lot of decorative metalwork there, and I think whatever you do has to sort of be extremely compatible, or I think it will detract from the original. I'm less concerned about the ones underneath, and just I don't know how you approach the A's that are on the top there. I'll leave that to the type 2, but I think you have a design challenge there.
Sorry.
Do you see the design challenge?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, it's scribbling. And about the amount of signage, so, you know, if there were a sign on all of the fascias, I know I pronounced that wrong, fascias, would that give you guys any kind of a heartburn? Can mounted metal signs there?
I think it's kind of a lot, especially on the long, a side elevation where there's just a center entry and then there could be pin-mounted letters all the way down every fascia. So I was suggesting, you know, if there's, that it, there be some method of determining one spot for each tenant that's symmetrical. And I would agree with Commissioner Roman that I think it should have, there should be a universal letter, size, type, font, not specialized.
So just one question to the signage on the fascia. If it were in every bay but were limited in the overall width that it could occupy in the bay.
It seems like a lot on the long, on the two side elevations to me still, just to have every single bay. Depends on the size of your word, I guess. But I leave that to Mike. I just don't want to see like running copy all the way, the full length of the block.
What kind of limitations have you placed on that type of signage in the past, if any? Something like that.
With historic resource review, we have a little bit of
leeway.
Extra, yeah, leeway to say that it's not compatible with the building. That's why I asked the follow-up question.
Okay.
And then the C signs, they come up in the DAR, the blades that are at the transom line but on the corner of the building. I think that the applicant, you have the detail, right? Or at least a material sheet. Yeah.
Can I ask a clarifying question? So these C signs at the corners, they would replace the existing horizontal blade signs at the corners under the Nines and under the Macy's sign? Or would these just be under the awnings?
There are some corners where, most of the corners, there is no sign where the C is located. There is a sign where the D, H,
kind of smaller signs that are sort of
added on to that vertical, but the horizontal blade at the corners, that would be a new element.
Okay. Can you go to the image, street view? The rendering, sorry. So, okay. So it would be in that sign band below that existing. Okay.
But in some cases, you'd have two blade signs at the corner, then the horizontal and the vertical sign.
For instance, this Nines sign, obviously that belongs to the hotel, and that's going to stay. Urban Farmer is also related to the hotel, and that's going to stay. So it would be an opportunity for a new retailer to put a diagonal sign
right here.
Right there, yeah.
It seemed like a lot to me, but a pretty big sign there already, in addition to any plaques at the corner here. But I'll defer to my fellow commissioners on.
Are you thinking one or the other?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm there too.
Is it possible, again, this is probably the tenant issues, but the Nines, I don't know if that sign was conceived of all at once, so the Nines, and then Urban Farmer was added, or whether that sign was designed, you know, if you could add on to that sign with another element that fit into that overall composition, I could see it. But I think I agree with Commissioner Mahoney that adding another one below it, it starts to get to be a real jumble. So is it possible to take another Urban Farmer element and add it just to the bottom there, or is that kind of confusing brands, or, yeah, okay.
The confusing of brands, you know, the hotel certainly wants to maintain their identity and okay. The restaurant, and I think the building, you know, which will be Meyer and Frank for the office, also wants to, and certainly the retail. I think the blade is, the thought is placing it lower within the horizontal band of other retail signage, that then at least it's kind of part of its family of signs, and that it, from the pedestrian experience, especially at this corner where you don't, you know, we've used the entrance into the building here, so we're not going to be dropping the retail sign under that canopy. It would be at the, you know, we just want to give the, as I'm walking down the street, I want to have a sense of what's in that store on the corner, in that shop.
If I could just add one comment, maybe not directly to that point, but just to me, designing a sign that goes with the building makes more sense than something that feels really modern. and I know that may be at odds, maybe the canopies are different, but that blade sign you're showing with the lid edge on it, it just seems like a really modern element for the corner of the building there. I would just encourage you to, you know, try to design it in that composition so that it doesn't look like the one thing, like which of these things doesn't go with everything else kind of a thing. So, you know, if it could have a composition that didn't say, oh my gosh, look, they just put a new sign up there, right, I could get behind it. But I think there are a lot of signs right there now. So is that the new entrance?
Yes.
So you've got a potential for a sign right there under that canopy and a sign right under that canopy. So maybe this corner can be free of other signs. I don't know. And that might be at odds with my fellow commissioners over the sort of, you know, should it be a modern sign or should it be a something that looks like it goes with the sort of the overall aesthetic of the building. And I think it should go with the overall aesthetic of the building and not stand out. And I might make an exception at the new canopies that you could do something that feels more like of that kind of spirit. But I would say with the fonts and everything, to try to come up with something that feels like it's, you know, Meyer and Frank terracotta building downtown Portland. So. Is that enough feedback? Or it's all on you now. I mean, I guess the signage shouldn't be the thing that, like, all of a sudden it's the most dominant element on the building. So
that's what I was about to say is that I'm looking at this, and this corner is a good example. If all that's, I was looking at the different types of signage proposed, thinking, okay, these are, you know, good types of signage, but if they're all happening at one place, it's too much. So I think there's some balancing of, you know, not having a blade sign and a horizontal blade sign and a plaque and a, you know, the fascia and the canopy, the awning stuff, all in the same corner. So that's I guess I need to balance that out and not have, if there's not a vertical blade sign, then maybe there's some other couple of other types of signs. Or, you know, if there is, maybe you limit it to fascias. And
yeah, and I mean, in terms of the value of having that sign there, it's not very big. And so even like PDX Outerwear, if that were your client, they're going to come out with a pretty small font anyway. I guess you True. Could shorter it, shorten it or something like that. But
it hangs vertically.
Yeah. Come up with a logo.
I mean, I think it's a little bit of a trick not knowing who's going to occupy right. the building and right. exactly how much signage they're going to need. We're trying to anticipate retailers, and we're also trying to anticipate potentially office tenants that might want to have a presence on the street. So we're really just looking to see what the kit of parts are that they can choose from and give Mike a sense when we come back with our type two. When it's too much, and you know, kind of what pushing pull there is, we don't really know how many of these they're going to want to deploy. So,
okay.
So this is all really good feedback. I appreciate it.
Okay.
You want to close the record again?
Okay. With that, I'd like to go ahead and close the public record. And I guess we could then have a motion.
Okay, I'll move to approve the staff report as written.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
A second.
Could you call roll?
Commissioner Chung?
Yes.
Commissioner Roman?
Yes.
Commissioner Mahoney?
Yes.
Commissioner Carlson?
Yes.
And Chair Rizzetta?
Yes. Thank you very much. Okay.